begin to get you prepared for the next coming months, for the ministries that we are going to have coming in to share with us. Someone said once, I thought our vision was strong men that are taught by apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so they asked if I was all five. So I decided, since I'm not all five, that I need to have some of the others come in and share a series of messages with us along the lines of helping us and preparing us for the work of ministry so that we can fulfill the calling that God has given us. Of course, when you have others that are coming in, first of all, we always choose those that we respect and honor, because we know what they believe and we know why they believe what they believe. But no two people, even in the family of God, always are completely in agreement with every doctrine. We are always in agreement with the basic and fundamental doctrines of Christ. But there are the things that, you know, we may see things just a little differently. And sometimes it's not necessarily that those things are wrong, but that they might be seen from a different perspective. When we have, for example, teaching, most people would teach out of their basic eschatology, you know, their thinking and their understanding of the last thing, of the last days or the last things, for example. If you have a theology where you are a pre-trib or a mid-trib or a post-trib, it's pre-tribulation rapture, you know, mid-tribulation rapture or post-tribulation rapture, that is more or less going to be the, is going to guide you in your theology, in what you're thinking, in your teaching. We have to, there are some fundamentals that I want us to be completely in agreement with, so that as we bring in others, that at least you will not be confused by anything, that you'll be able to understand and receive what is and what is maybe contrary, that you would know as mature people in the Lord basically how to judge everything and how to rightly divide everything. The essence of the gospel really is more or less in three parts. First, it's Christ, what he's done for us. And everyone knows that we were all born in sin, as the Bible teaches us. We were all born in sin, and that we all needed a Savior. And so that Christ came, God sent his word and healed us. The word came, became flesh, and that is what the cross was all about. Christ came and he died so that you and I can be brought into the family of God. That's fundamental in the Bible, in the Christian faith. We understand that, we know that, we've received that. So that is Christ for us. That's what he came to do for us. The second part basically has to do a lot with Christ in us. We've been talking of John chapter 16. We've spoken about Christ telling his disciples that it was advantageous for them that he would go away. When he goes away, he's going to send back the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes back, he will do several things. We went over those things, and we looked at what it said. It said, first of all, when the Holy Spirit comes back, he will convict the world of sin. And as I shared with you before, you know, we've often used that as the Holy Spirit to convict us, the church, but, you know, that's not what I read. You know, I read that the Holy Spirit has come. When he comes, he'll convict the world. He'll convict the world of sin, or convince the world that everyone is under sin and everyone needs a Savior. So that's Christ coming for us and dying for us. But then, after he dies for us, he comes and he places the kingdom inside of us, and he places us in the kingdom of God. And now that is Christ in us. It says he will convict the world of sin, convince the world of sin, but then he will convict or convince the church, convince you of righteousness. He'll convict or convince you of your righteousness. Now, why do we need convincing? We need convincing of our righteousness because when God, by his Spirit, does a miraculous work in us, in our spirit, and we are born of God, and we belong to the family of God, and we become royalty, you know, even when you look in the natural, when a little baby is born into royalty, what is done with that little child is that that little child is taken and is separated from all the other little kids. That child is taught and trained in his royalty, taught and trained how to act, how to live, how to respond, so that he does not live like the ordinary son or child. And that's what the Holy Spirit, when he comes, we being born of God, now the Holy Spirit is going to come and is going to teach us and train us and show us. So though we are born of spirit, our minds have to be renewed. And the Holy Spirit is here to do that. So he's coming to convince us. Hey, listen, you are righteous. You know, we have a problem with that because we look at righteousness and we say, well, we confuse righteousness sometimes with holiness. We say, well, we are not, you know, I'm not so righteous because of what I did. You know, last week I did this. You know, I don't think I'm serving God the way I really should. I have this problem. I have that problem. And the enemy uses all those things against us to keep us in our heads and in our minds, to keep us from focusing on really what God says we are. And so the Holy Spirit comes and he convinces us, help us to renew our minds so that we can accept who we are in him. And then once we begin to identify with who we are, Christ in us, it says the Holy Spirit would also convict the enemy, Satan, because the prince of this world is already judged. So what he does is that he declares that, you know, when I came, I already judged Satan. He's already judged. He's not going to be judged. He's already judged. He's already defeated. You know, he has nothing in me. That's what Jesus said. And he must have nothing in you. See, so you and I must be convinced of who the enemy is, of where he is. You know, we sing the songs like he's under our feet and so on, which those are good songs because, as we said, it's part of meditation to help us to keep meditating upon all that God has said so that we can come in agreement with all that God is saying so that now not only would our minds be renewed, but so our bodies will be brought under submission, and then through the kingdom of God functioning and working through us, Christ for us, in us, then it'll be Christ through us, so that we in turn can affect a lost and dying world. Bible says the whole of creation is groaning and waiting and looking for the manifestation of the sons of God. And so that's what we are. When Christ comes in us, and the more we are convinced of that, then we move to the next stage of Christ through us, where he begins to manifest and demonstrate who he is, to the world. And so, the kingdom of God is brought into manifestation, through us, as we keep sharing and speaking and living what Christ wants us to live. Now, of course, there is I just heard something recently. I was just heard it from one of the ministers of the gospel, and they were talking about this. About our place. Of course, there is a scripture that tells us that in Romans chapter 4, I'm just trying to recall exactly what was said because I don't want to misquote it. But in Romans chapter 4, it speaks of because of Abraham and what Abraham did, that God had imputed righteousness unto Abraham. Do you remember that? Romans chapter 4. It's right around, it's verse 23. Chapter 4. You know the story about Abraham there. In verse 18 it says, "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." And it was mentioned and it was pointed out that it was imputed to him. Righteousness was imputed to him. He wasn't really righteousness, so to speak, but it was imputed. And then it says in 24, But for us also, 23 says, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." So, it was pointed out is that what happens is that we are not really like God in the sense of being righteous like God, but because of our obedience, like Abraham here, righteousness is imputed to us so we could act as though we are righteous. Okay? And that sounds all well and good, but receive the truth or what the word says, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. When we read of turn 2 Peter with me, I'll get back to where I'm. I just want to mention these things because we need to at least you need to hear what I believe and see why I believe what I believe, and then you can always go home and because you will hear, I'm sure some of you probably heard all these things before, but it's important that that you understand where I'm coming from, since you know I'm the pastor here and I'm sharing with you. In 2 Peter, of course, that verse there, verses 3 and 4, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I'm stating that being a partaker of the divine nature, what happens is that as we begin to, and this is what I've shared with you, this I believe is the miracle of the new birth. The miracle of the new birth says in James, it says that which that we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And in John chapter 3, it says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Well, you and I were born of flesh, and so we understand what it is to be born of flesh. And so it also says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You and I were born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, one of the things that we point that we point out when we talk about this, you know, we are not stating and we are not teaching that we become Christ. Christ is Christ. You know, we don't become God. Excuse me, because God had no beginning. God has no ending. You can't become God. I can't become God. But we can be God's offspring, where we are born of God and have God's nature. And so, this, I believe, is one of the reasons why it is necessary for the Holy Spirit to have to convince us of our righteousness. For the scripture says that we are, 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are. And if that's what we are, it's because that is what we were born into, and that's what we were born of. We were born of the Spirit of God. And that is what happens in our spirit. You know, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation, a new creature. Okay, everyone believes that when we were born again, that our minds didn't change, our bodies didn't change. Well, it says, all things become new, all things become new. Well, what are those old things? See, and it goes back to that spiritual part of us. That's what is born of God. That is what is born again. Okay? So, it's important for me to express this to you, for you to go home and search it out and continue to study it, because, again, it is necessary. I believe that what I am convinced of, you know, when I'm convinced of myself being righteous, because that's what the Holy Spirit has come to do, to convince me that I am, then I can live and walk out from my righteousness. Okay? And that righteousness, again, is something that was that we were given. It was a gift given to us. You know, we were born of the Spirit of God, and so that's important. So, We go back to the theology that is Christ for us. That's what he died. That's what the cross was all about. But when Christ died on the cross, Jesus came to indwell us, to have us born of the Spirit and be part of the divine family, the royal family. And so when it's Christ in us, and that's important for us to have our minds renewed to all the truth that it says in here about Christ in us, so that it could be moved to the next level, which is Christ through us, you know, where we can literally change, you know, a lost and dying world, where we can reach individuals for Christ, where we can carry out the mandate of the gospel, where we can bring the demonstration of the kingdom. You know, Christ mentioned the church, I think about 4 or 5 times in the Bible, but he mentioned the kingdom over 100 times. He spoke the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. So we want to focus on what he focused on. Bible says in Acts chapter 1 that let me just read it there real quickly for you. Acts chapter 1. In the very beginning, it says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the church." No, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. When he came, he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, he's constantly speaking about the kingdom of God. Okay? The church will come into the discovery of what the church is really all about, which is who we really are, as we continue to allow Christ in us to begin to demonstrate, you know, and to convince us and to show us of who we are, how we should walk, how we should live, and which will eventually bring us to a place of Christ through us, where we can affect those that are around us. So, the understanding of the gifts, for we understand the fruit. We know the fruit of the Spirit. We know what we are to demonstrate or to reveal in our lives, as far as the gospel is concerned, the way we should live. There is basically for us to have an understanding from the perspective of where what we present here at Victory. I think it's important for us to understand the giftings, because when you talk about the gifts of the Spirit, there are many classifications of the gifts of the Spirit. People break the gifts down in different ways, and you know, the different ways, it does not mean that one way is incorrect and the other way is correct, or any you know, sometimes it's just from different perspectives that is presented. And it's important for you and me to understand, if you could read my writing, we have the motivational gifts. Okay, we have the motivational gifts, where every person has a motivational gift. Okay, how many motivational gifts do we have? Each person has one, right? You know what those gifts are? Yeah, and What are those gifts? Do you know what your motivational gift is? Just wave your hand if you know what yours is. Anyone know what your motivational gift is? Yes, what's yours? Exhortation? Anybody else knows what his or her is? What your gift is? Anybody else has a different one than these? Huh? Yeah. Exhortation. The exhorter. Administration. Anybody else? Helps. Silver. Anybody has a different one than these? Huh? Any more? I'm assuming that you know what your gift is. Alright, I'll put a few down. Okay, did I miss any? When we did our lesson 301, we mentioned some of these. These gifts. So these are motivational gifts that, you know, usually everyone functions out of one of these. Now, it does not mean, when we say you function out of one of these, it doesn't mean that you don't have characteristics of all of them. See, because this may not be my motivational gift, mercy, but it doesn't mean that I don't act out of mercy. This may not be my motivational gift, but it does not mean that I don't act, you know, out of the prophetic at times. This may not be my ministry gift, but my motivational gift, but it doesn't mean that I don't give. As a matter of fact, we all should be givers, or we all should give. But not everybody has the gift of giving. Not everyone functions from that motivational gift of giving. Right? So we have these motivational gifts in our lives. And again, this is important so that in the future, as we begin to you know, hear other teachings and so on, that would bring teachings from a different perspective, you would have this perspective, and then you'd be able to balance off what you're hearing and compare so that you can understand things and be able to write a divide on your own. Right? So everyone has a motivational gift. And if you don't know what yours is, then it is important for you to find it out. You know, when you go through the steps that we have, if you get to class 301, you know, you will find out what your motivational gift is. And it's going to be very difficult to function in your purpose if you're not quite sure what your motivational gift is. Okay, so, and you can't have two. You can't have three. You can only have one. But you can show signs of the others. If you can understand what I'm saying, right? Okay. This is important for us. So we have a motivational gift, and from that motivational gift, then you may have many different ministry gifts. Okay? So, you can have many ministry gifts. Like, you could be a pastor, you could be a teacher, you could be an administrator, you could be anything. So, and then you can be more than one. You can have more than one ministry gift. Right? So, you have one motivational gift, you can have several ministry gifts. Okay? And then, the third, of course, there are manifestation gifts, which means that a person functioning from his motivational gift in his ministry, whatever his ministry or her ministry gift might be, is functioning in that ministry gift, then in that person's ministry, they can have any one of the nine gifts of the Spirit function. One, two, maybe all nine can function at the time of your ministry, when you're ministering. So, you may be ministering to someone, and at that particular point in time, God wants to give a miracle of healing to someone, and He may use you in that capacity to function in that gift. Right? Remember, Christ came for us, and now He is in us, so that He could be through us. And the purpose for everything, the purpose of a gift, giftings, it's for others. God doesn't give us gifts for ourselves. What we have is for others. When God gives us a ministry, you know, we misunderstand what that's all about. But a ministry is not something, so this is my ministry. That's not what it's all about. It's a vehicle that God uses so that He can get to others. He may get to either build the body up, or He may use it to reach the lost, a lost and dying world. Right? So the more you and I understand these basic things, you know, how it works, you know, when God comes and He manifests the kingdom of God inside of you, see, and we know the kingdom has all the answers, and so now we can always draw from the answers, and from the kingdom that is within us to get all the answers that we need, and God would give us many ministry opportunities so that we can reach a world through the gifts, the manifestation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. So, for example, you may have a, let's say we have an exhorter. Someone with a motivational gift of an exhorter. And that individual is called to be a pastor. So, that person's ministry gift could be pastor. That exhorter could be called to be an evangelist. That exhorter could be called to be anything. Any of the ministry gifts. One, two, three, whatever. Or an administrator. Sometimes you see pastors who have the motivational gift of exhorter. And then sometimes you see a pastor who has a motivational gift of administrator. See, those are the ones who don't need an administrator in their ministry, because they themselves have that gift, and normally, you know, they can set things the way they want it, because they understand a lot of what they do is from administrative point of view. Or someone might be a teacher. or someone might be merciful. The gift of mercy, you know, motivational gift. Any of these gifts the person may have. But don't confuse these with their ministry gifts. Their ministry gifts, normally these gifts function from their motivation. You see, they're motivated by one of these, and you will see it showing up basically in the ministry gifts. If you had a good administrator, okay, that you'd find that their ministry, you know, would take on that that form of administration, and that pastor himself would be, you know, you can even consider him the head administrator. Okay, if he was basically an exhorter, you'd find that what would motivate that pastor is making things in such a way that it's simple and practical so that the people can follow it. It's different from teaching, because what one with a motivational gift of teaching would do is would kind of bring things out, you know, study of what this means and how it fits with this, and you know, what does this word mean, and you know, what's the context of this, and so on. You know, the teacher does all of that. It's different from the exhorter. The motivational gift of the exhorter is that he is going to make things, put things in such a practical way. Step 1, 2, 3. Here's how you do it. You know, because it's always to exhort the person or whatever he or she is doing. So, from the motivational gift comes the ministry gifts. And then, while you are functioning in your ministry gifts, then God could use you in any of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. You know, He can use you in the word of wisdom. You know, you might be teaching. You might be pastoring. You might be evangelizing. You might be helping, you know, you might be serving, you could be doing anything. And then God can use you through that ministry gift. He can use you to fulfill any one of the manifestation gifts. So it's not that you and I walk around owning these gifts. Because if the gifts are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and if the Holy Spirit basically is the one who is working in and through us, then, you know, you can be used in any 9 gifts of the Spirit at any given time that the Holy Spirit so chooses. And remember, the goal is always to reach someone or to fulfill something that he is aspiring to do. Right? So we need to understand these things. Now, Why are we sharing this? In light of what I'm saying to you, for example, I think we have you could use a little example here that I have a ministry gift of pastor. Right? Yes?
I'm not sure. But
Okay. What is my motivational gift? Okay. The motivational gift of teaching. Okay. Ministry gift, pastor. Manifestation gift would be any of the 9 gifts of the Spirit that God would so choose. When I'm ministering, He is choosing to do that because He wants to reach a person or fulfill some purpose or plan that He has. That's why you should be open to every gift of the Spirit so that God could use you at any time that He sees fit. Now, if you had one gift, one manifestation gift, for example, you know, and let's say that you had a manifestation gift of healing, you know, and you're ministering to someone, and as you're ministering to that someone at that time, that person has a need. But the need that they have is not healing. They don't need to be healed. They are already in good health and so on. So they don't need physical healing or spiritual healing. They don't need to be healed. You know, but they need another gift to be in operation. Maybe they need a working of miracles, a miracle in their lives. See, maybe they need a financial miracle, for example. Right? So then if I am only used in the gift of healing, then I'm going to have to go and find the person who God is using with the gift of miracles so that that person can be ministered to. But it doesn't work that way. That's not the way God works. The way God works it is that even while you are ministering to that person, if that person needs a working of miracles, God would use you at that time to do that. Especially because the desire of God is not so much that we use these gifts in the church, but that we use these gifts out there as we go out and begin to minister to the world. You know, when you go, you know, do we need to cast out demons in the church? Sometimes when the unsaved come in, when the unsaved come in, then we may have to cast out some demons. But the goal of it, or the objective, is that we go out. That's where lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Cast out demons, you know. That's where God really wants us to be. And when we say out there, we've got to understand that the kingdom of God, that you are, that one of the parables describes you as the seed. Right? And it says that you are the seed and you are planted in all different spheres of life, different areas. You might be a great basketball player like Tebow. No, he's a football player. Lynn, what's Jeremy Lynn, right? You know, he's not yet proven, but you know, huh? Yeah, he's not yet proven, but you know, he gave a little dazzle for a small short time, and he proclaimed and professed, you know, to be a believer. And you notice that more and more of them are professing. Some of them get up and thank God. Some of them get up and thank Jesus. Huh? And we have it in football. We have so many of them that, and we've had some of them in times past, you know. And one that really stood out to me was A.C. Green from the Lakers, because his testimony was, they used to call him, what they call him? Not only preacher boy, but they call him. They said that because he was a virgin, and he's playing in the NBA. You know, can have, you know, all these women that are after him and so on, and he's kept himself. You know, and was bold about it. You know, he was a testimony to the gospel. See, so whatever sphere of life that you might be in. See, you are the seed, so God may pick you up and plant you in an area. Sometimes he takes us and plants us in a job, and we keep crying to get out of that job. God, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't want to be here. I hate this job. And God is saying to you, well, I've placed you there for a purpose. You know, I want you to do something for me in this place. See, so We want to understand how these things are working. Now, when we are going to be bringing different ministries in to help us, Pastor Evanson will be with us very soon, and he will be bringing his gift to help us. What his ministry gift is, and he will be functioning basically from his motivational gift. He is not going to be me, and I'm not going to be him. And when we bring other, like we'll bring we're bringing someone with the ministry gift of the prophetic. But again, remember, those are only ministry gifts. Sometimes those individuals, or most of the times, they would function from their motivational gift, even though they're giving us or they're bringing forth a ministry gift. And so these things are going to be different. It's going to be, you know, individuals are going to be ministering differently. We're going to understand, once we understand how this functions and operates, then whoever comes in, then we can be comfortable with their gifts, with their ministry gifts, and feel free to receive in their manifestation gifts. And then we can even at times pick out what their motivational gift is really all about. So it would help us. The reason that God has given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, you know, is so that we, the saints, can be equipped to do the work of the ministry. See, so that's when they come in, we have to be able to receive them and to understand them and to understand basically what our mission is and what our vision is, so that we can do exactly what God wants us to do without confusion. Yeah, now, you know, one of the problems that we have, you know, sometimes, you know, of course, we have people that come to church, they come to church, they join a church, and they come to a church, but they've been used to another church where they came from. And so when they come from that church and they come into, maybe a different fellowship, then they begin to point out that, well, in the other church, we did it like this, or we should be doing it this way, or we should be, and you know, without understanding this, the reason why we're not doing it that way is because we're not that church, or we're not from that place. You see, so things may be different, you know, but we have to be mature enough to understand. So that, you know, I don't feel that, okay, if someone is sharing, they have to share this way. Or if they're doing something, it has to be done this way. No, let's not put God in a box like that. Let's recognize that there's a diversity of gifts. There's so many gifts and the way how God works, He works through individuals. And we need to be open enough to hear, to receive, to weigh everything. We're not saying that you just accept everything as coming from God. You know better than that. We want to be like the Bereans. We want to take what we're hearing and apply it and study it and make sure that it's according to the Word of God, so that we can apply it and get the benefits from it. See, so that is to help us to grow and help us to do the work of the ministry. Right? So that we can hasten the coming of the Lord, the things that you know, are you tired of this world? I mean, the way it is, you know, should be tired of this world, you know, but we know we have a job to do, so we want to stay here, we want to finish our job. We are even praying that Christ comes in our lifetime. You know, well, if we want Christ to come in our lifetime, I think that, you know, we need to get more into Christ, and let Christ get more into us. Okay, so is everybody understanding where I'm going with this in relation to the ministries that we have that are going to be coming and sharing, you know, with us? Again, we would have no one here that we do not believe is sound. They may not be like us, but they are sound. They have something to give to us, to impart to us, so that we, again, as the body, could become well-rounded and equipped to carry out the functions that God, the jobs that He has given us to do. So this is important. You need to understand this. You need to understand, again, that the three aspects of the gospel: Christ for us, what He's done for us. Thank God for the cross. We go nowhere without the cross. The preaching of the cross to others is foolishness, you know, but it is the salvation of God. See, when Christ came and he died on the cross, he proclaimed the kingdom. So we want to proclaim the kingdom. He says, seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness. We don't have to seek the cross, because we've already been born of the cross and brought into the kingdom. And so now we want to seek all the different things that are in the kingdom of God. See, now we're not forgetting the cross. That's like saying that we're forgetting the blood. We can't do that. That's the part of what we're doing. But we're looking to the kingdom, you know, so now that we can get to the place where Christ can have that kingdom functioning in us, so that we can demonstrate what the kingdom is really all about. So Christ for us, Christ in us, Christ through us. Okay? Motivational giftings, ministry giftings, manifestation giftings. So that we can understand everything that comes our way. Okay? There's also something that you need to understand, again, from our perspective here, that there's a reason why we have a mission statement, and there's a reason why we have a vision. Okay, God has told us that within our statement that we read, you know, again, we're talking about the local church. God has given to us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, so that we could do the work of the ministry. Strong men taught by apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers make a strong church. Right? And what happens when you're a strong church? Make strong families. And when you have a strong families, then you would have a strong church. And what would be the function of the church? Okay? To be involved in the demonstration of the kingdom, and to reach a lost and dying world for Christ, right? To receive the kingdom and then to manifest that kingdom, so that His will be done in us, open vessels, just like His will is done in heaven, so that it could be demonstrated to the world. Okay? And, you know that we have not really been doing that. When I say we, I'm not just talking about our local church, I'm talking about the family of God. Because the family of God has to be in a position where we become kingdom influences. We've got to influence the kingdom of the world. We are too influenced by the kingdom of the world. And that's why the Spirit of God has to spend so much time working with us to renew our minds, so that there would be a distinction between those that are in the kingdom of God and those that are in the kingdom of the world. Yes? Okay. So this is what we're doing. So we know what God has said to us. But we've also have to recognize something, and I think that when God gives us a message and He gives us a word, you know, like you, when God gave me a word of pastoring this local church, of course, I got that word when I was very, very, very green. You know, immature in many ways, growing. You know, I remember when I first came to the Lord, before long I was in leadership, you know, and there were a lot of things that so many things that I didn't know, but I was in leadership. You know, and I don't think it was wrong that I was in leadership at the time, you know, because of course when you think back in the 70s on Long Island, you didn't have too many people that were in the gospel, the full gospel. Am I right? Right. During that time, we didn't have too many people a lot of people were beginning to be saved in the 70s, remember? 70s, and you know, so So God used people like me. Right? And He used people like me in leadership. You know? And of course, what would you expect if God is using people that are young in leadership? You know, there are a lot of things that we're going to do that really we weren't really led by God. Sometimes we get anointed, self-anointed, you know, and we preach self-anointed messages, and we do things out of a perspective that we have, and out of the perspective of those who are sharing with us and teaching us. So we make a lot of mistakes, you know. But over the years, of course, then, you know, you begin to become seasoned in understanding of how God functions, what the kingdom is, how God operates, what to do, and so on. So the individuals that we'll be bringing in, as I said, individuals like Pastor Evanson and others that we're bringing, that who would be here, who would be literally seasoned men, men who actually have been there, have been studying all this time, understanding what, you know, and not just by way of study, but also by way of what they have lived and you know, what they have gone through. You know, and then so we'll have this. It's important for us really, you know, to understand this. So when God has spoken to me and when I began, you know, when he spoke to us, there's a few of us here, and many of you can remember when we first came to the building, you know, it was what, a handful of us, you know, that we came into the building here. And then we were asking God, well, God, what do you want? And remember, we spent the 10 days, and in those 10 days, you know, we got a word from the Lord where God said to us, I have given you the community, and there would be a notable miracle. Some of you, how many of you were here when we had that word, right? Okay, so we've had that word from the Lord. So in our overall mission, you know, that was a part of the vision that God had given us in our overall mission. Remember, our mission is strong men taught by apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers make strong families make a strong church. A strong church can receive the kingdom and begin to demonstrate the kingdom in a lost and to a lost and dying world. See, that's our overall vision, a mission that we're given, or vision. You know, but there are different missions that we would have. And one of our missions is to this community here. Now, what we have done, or what I have failed to do in the past, is to get you to begin to understand the importance of the local ministry mission that we have here. And I believe that because as a pastor, as I said, when you're learning and when you're moving forward and you're doing things and you don't have everything together and you're making mistakes, one of the mistakes that I think I've made was I was not able to give the vision or the mission of this North Bellport that God had given to us over to the congregation, where everyone that was in the congregation basically understood the mission and actually embraced it. And most of us, many of us, even in this room now, are not from this local community right here. You see? But if we were not able to embrace the mission and understand what the mission was to this local community, you know, and that was just a portion of what God was given to us. You see, all the other things, it doesn't change God wanting to reach Shirley Mastic, God wanting to reach Patchogue, God, none of that changed. It didn't change that God wants to take some of us and send us on mission trips overseas, or none of those things change. See, this local vision, however, mission is something that we needed to embrace and capture. Because had we been able to do that, then, you know, then it would have been easier for God to, you know, have our horizons expanded and take us into areas and avenues where he wanted us to go. Now, that was the mission that was given to this local house. Right? That was the mission. That little area of North Bellport, East Patchogue. And why? You know, it was a tremendous opportunity, because to think that God was using us to reach one of the communities that at one time was considered the South Bronx of Long Island. That's when the South Bronx was really bad. It's getting nice now. It's getting better. Our North Belport is getting better. But this is something that God has given to us. So when he says, you know, there would be a notable miracle, you know, I think until we embrace what he is saying to us, you know, then we are not really prepared for all that he has for us. And so I'm saying to you that that was part of my failure, basically as a leader, to get you to a place where you embrace that vision and that mission, the mission of this local area. Now, of course, when I speak like this, I'm not saying that nobody embraced the mission, because you know that's not true. You know that we've done certain things within the mission field here of North Belport. When we had expressed, of course, you know, the times that we were praying here in this community, we prayed, the pastors were praying the Tuesday mornings. We tried to get the pastors together. The reason why we tried to get the pastors together is because once we started on the mission to reach our area, this North Belport, East Patchogue area that's right here, once we started that mission, then it was clarified to us that when God said, I have given you the community, he wasn't talking about Victory Church of God only. When he says, I have given you, he made it clear to us that you meant my people. So that was the reason why we started reaching out to the other churches, which we are still doing today, in reaching out to the other churches, because though we may try and do things on our own, as our own local house here, God has a bigger purpose and vision for us to do it with the community, because a community, if we had all the pastors and the group or majority of them within the community, then God can fulfill and do what he wants to do. It doesn't mean that God can't give us revival. Yeah, we could have revival. You know, we could have one church that's doing really well and doing certain things within our community. But I think what God was speaking to us when he said, I've given you the community and there would be a notable miracle, he was speaking about us collectively as a body within the community so that we can affect the community in the way that it should, or the way that we should. And so, you know, we've been working on that. It's been difficult. You know, we've taught that. That's when we spend the time here praying. Every morning we used to pray from 5 in the morning. We started over at the Open Door Church. Then we moved it to here. And we were praying constantly every Tuesday. And we seldom missed Tuesday at 5 a.m. And even when it came down to when in the meetings, we had about 18 pastors and ministers from the community. But 18, when we started the prayer, you know, there was about, 12 or so that started coming to the meeting, the prayer. And when we ended up with about 4. There were 4. But we continued, and while we were praying, then what you know, those that were left, you know, the character approach that we got was the strategy that we received that we were going to work with to affect our community. And so that's what we've been putting into effect. We've been working now. Because again of my failure to be able to get you to embrace the mission, you know, because of my failure to do that, I think that we have suffered as a church and we've suffered as a group, and haven't really been put ourselves in the position and the place to have God do what he wanted to do in us and through us for our local community here. Now, remember, that was a mission that God had given us. The overall vision does not just deal with North Belport. The overall vision deals with what God wants to do with you and me. Strong men, making strong families, making a strong church that would really carry out the function of the kingdom, reach a lost and dying world. So though we may start here in this Jerusalem, the purpose was Judea and Samaria, the most parts of the world. You know, so if you had a vision, if you had a personal vision of where God was saying to you, or some minister spoke to you and gave you a word, or some brother or some sister or someone gave you a word that bore witness in your spirit that God was going to take you to X place, or take you around the world, or, you know, see, that doesn't mean that that was not of God, you see. But what your purpose was supposed to be was to focus on where you are, because you know that if you're going to get to your the uttermost part of the world, then you're certainly going to start in your Jerusalem. That's why some people want to do all these different things, you know, but they're not even faithful to their local church. You know, how is God going to send you out, you know, when you're not even faithful to the local house that you're in? So those things, you know, are things that we need to understand. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are sent out, you know, but you have to remember that there is a vision and a mission that God has given us. And as long as we're here, then we need to see that mission carried out. We need to see that mission fulfilled, and allow God to continue to do the rest of the things that He has decided that He would do. Now, I'm saying all this to say that when in bringing in other ministries that would come in and share with us, we want to recognize that we're being equipped for the vision that God has given and the mission or missions that we have that we are supposed to carry out. Am I making sense to you? Am I clear enough? Okay. Let me just stop here and take any questions that you may have.